on this first Sunday of Lent, we always hear in our gospel of Jesus going out into the wilderness for 40 days, there to be tempted by the devil, St. Luke tells us. And of course, we see the parallel there for the origin of our own season of Lent of 40 days, 40 days of testing for us. But it's interesting in the gospel that we see explicitly Luke tell us that Jesus went to be tempted by the devil. When I was a high school chaplain, one of the favorite questions that the students always loved to ask about was about exorcisms, because they had seen kind of in movies and things like The Exorcist and things of popular culture's kind of understanding of exorcism. And it's interesting because the students often thought that, well, this is all just kind of entertainment, sort of, and they do crazy dangerous things like go buy a Ouija board or something at a department store. They're very somewhat intrigued, if not surprised, to find out that, you know, these things are actually very real. The devil is very real, is a real person, and I will often tell them that when they ask about the movies and things, you know, this stuff with like heads spinning around and people levitating and puking up green puke and things, it doesn't really happen, does it? But, well, yeah, actually, I was friends with an exorcist in Chicago, and he's like, yeah, everything in that movie, I've seen it all. I mean, except a head can't spin completely around 180, 360 degrees. But other than that, yeah, I've seen all that stuff. And the students are very intrigued, but I do think it's important for us then to keep in mind that one of the benefits of being very explicit and honest about the fact that we do have a real enemy is it does call our attention to the fact that there is more to this world than simply what we see. Today I'd like to talk then a little bit about some of this unseen world. We often talk about the saints, and they're perhaps easy for us to understand, and that the saints were people like us who died like we will and now are in heaven with God. We don't see them, but they're here. But there's a whole nother order of creatures created by God that are also unseen and yet present, and those are the angels. Now, probably growing up, we learned to perhaps make the prayer to our guardian angel, angel of God, my guardian dear. You know, and we probably know in our heads that, oh yeah, we've got a guardian angel. But what are these angels, really? Well, here's a little bit of metaphysical philosophy for you, just in case you want to go home and have something smart to say that you learned metaphysical philosophy this morning at Mass. Angels are pure spirit. Now, we as human beings, that's hard for us to understand because we are not just physical. Some people today will want to say that the human body, well, all we are is matter and atoms and everything's just physical and determined. But we know that we are not just physical. We also have spirit, the spiritual side, that there is this dynamic life force in us that gives life to all these atoms. And that we call spirit, soul, different words, but it's the animating principle. Anima means soul in Latin. It's what gives life to all this. And here's the thing, with human beings, we're not just one or the other. We're not just spiritual, so we don't just think about God in our head. We need to concretely, tangibly experience it. So we're also physical. Humans are both at the same time, body and soul. And if you ever separate the two, well, that's what we call death. Now, angels have no body. They have no physical, tangible principle. That's why we can't see them. They are only spirit. But here's the thing. We do not become angels. That's a big kind of misunderstanding that sometimes people will talk when people die. Well, heaven has gained another angel. No, you are a human being. You will never be an angel. We hope that you will be like angels and that you will be holy and you will see God forever in heaven. But they're actually two different orders of creation. You can't anymore become an angel as you would become a dog or a rock. They're two different ways of being. Now, these angels, they were all created, though, by God, like us in the beginning. God created the angels. At that time, in a way unknown to us, they were given a choice to either follow and serve God or not. It's amazing to think that we are given a choice for God or not. I mean, we're his creatures, and yet he gives us a choice. Well, angels are also God's creatures, and amazingly, he gives them a choice. Will they serve God or not? Now, unlike for us who live in time, angels got that choice once, and they are pure intelligence, so they get to make a permanent choice. Sadly, some of the angels said, "I will not serve God." This is the leader of that band that we see today. We call the devil, Satan, the father of lies, the accuser, whatever title we want to use for him. He is the one who first said to God, "I will not serve." There are different theological interpretations as to why an angel would ever say that, why they would choose this. Some say it's because that Satan saw that God, who is pure spirit, intended to become human being like us, to take on flesh when Jesus was to become one of us, and that Satan said, "This is absurd. This is below the dignity of someone who is pure spirit like God and the angels. How could God condescend himself to take on matter in the world?" It's one of the explanations. In the end, it doesn't really matter so much except to know that Satan chose not to serve God and took with him perhaps a third of all the angels. And these angels that chose not to serve God, today we call the fallen angels or devils, demons. They are pure spirit. They are pure intelligence. They are way smarter than us. But the ones that have separated themselves from God have become ultimately weak and powerless in the end. It's not that they can't do a lot of damage in this life. There are demons out there that do not want us to see God forever. They know now that they've lost that opportunity forever by rejecting God, and so they don't want us to have it either. So it's a little scary sometimes to think that there really are personal beings out there who are out to get us. You know, I remember when I first saw the movie The Exorcist, the first thing I did after that was go home and get a statue of St. Michael and put it by my bed, because I was afraid that, you know, Satan and his fallen angels were after me and going to get me. Well, on the one hand, yes, we should recognize we have an enemy, just as we see in the gospel today. But on the other hand, not all the angels are fallen angels. In fact, there are infinitely more angels that serve God and are bent on helping you and I get to heaven. And that's our beautiful psalm today. We see that God has given his angels command about you, that they guard you in all your ways. Upon their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What a beautiful image of the angels protecting us, like St. Michael with his sword. We know in the end that it's not that there's this battle between good and evil and we don't know who will win. Yes, there's an army of fallen angels out to get us, but they've separated themselves from God. They can't possibly win. We know who wins. In the book of Revelation, it tells us St. Michael goes out with his angels, his army, and he defeats the wicked angels. That's already taken place. We know that the good angels win because they are with God. Now, each of us, I said, you know we have a guardian angel, and I wonder how much sometimes we remember that or think about it, that right now, your angel is with you here at Mass. I often thought, you know, how happy my guardian angel must be when I go to Mass, because of all the things that my guardian angel has to do, to watch out when I'm doing something I shouldn't. My guardian angel's like, "Oh my goodness, there he goes again, stop," or we're falling into sin, and our guardian angel's like, "Oh my gosh, not again." But we bring our guardian angel to Mass, our angels are going to be like, "Yes, we're at Mass," because that's what the angels were meant to do, to contemplate God forever. And when we're at Mass, it's like we're all together doing that. He like gets to meet up with all his angel friends and say, "Hey, good to see you at Mass. Good to see you too." Here's the thing though. We tend to, I think, ignore our angels and not ask their help, which we really need. It reminds me of a story of St. Padre Pio, St. Pio Pietrelcina, who died just in the 1960s, canonized by St. John Paul II. He was one that I mentioned you can't see angels. Satan, the fallen angels, or the good angels? Well, Padre Pio was given a singular gift by God that he actually could see his guardian angel. And in fact, he physically got beat up by the fallen angels. So one night, some demons were beating up Padre Pio, and they would do terrible things like beat him, set his bed on fire, and the high school kids love that. You're like, that's real? Yeah, that's real. It actually happened just, you know, a few decades ago. Well, Satan was beating up Padre Pio, and finally, you know, left him alone. And Padre Pio's looking at his guardian angel in the corner. He's like, hey, you're my guardian angel. You see what's going on here? What are you doing? I could have used a little help. Why didn't you help me? Guardian angel said, you didn't ask. Great, that's the kind of guardian angel I would get, a smart aleck kind of guardian angel. But it's actually a true story. Padre Pio tells it, and from that moment on, he always remembered, I will always ask my angel for help. That's no joke. If we've got fallen angels who are out to tempt us and test us, well, we darn well better make use of the means that God gives us to help fight that battle. We're not on our own. We've got an entire army of angels out to help us, and one angel specifically assigned to us to help us. Why would we not invoke that angel's help? Now, I will say that we should have a kind of awe then, that there is a pure spiritual being who, because they're outside time, that they stand before God face to face, and they don't have to leave there to be with us. It's all difficult to understand. But we do have to have a sense of awe that this creature has been assigned to serve us and get us to heaven. I should, by way of a side, say, don't try to name your guardian angel. That was a popular kind of thing sometimes people would say. The angels have names. We know three of them, Gabriel, Michael, Raphael. The other angels, they have names. We don't know them. We don't have power over them to give them a name, and that their names probably aren't even things that we could understand in English. So I invoke my angel as my angel, or angel, guardian angel. Please help me. Please guide me. It's a beautiful kind of image for us to teach children, especially from the time they're young and they're scared at night, that they've got the angels of God to really watch over them. Today, we kind of see the two sides of this. We see the evil angels, the devil, out to tempt Jesus. And notice he uses the subtleness that Satan used from the first moments in the garden. He tries to weave lies with truth. He tells Eve, did God really tell you not to eat of any tree in the garden? Well, that's a lie. Satan is trying to tempt Jesus. I've got all the power in the world. I'll give it to you. Just worship me. Well, that would be a lie. How could God worship Satan? Notice that Satan always kind of overplays his hand. If there's one thing that really gives me confidence, it's not that I'm not going to lose some battles to Satan. It's that in the end, he might win a few battles, but he's not going to win the war. Yes, I could say I was duped there. Point for Satan and his angels. He's way smarter than me. I'm weak and human. Okay, he got me there. But he will ultimately be defeated. That's why we too, as we begin this time of testing of Lent, we don't do it thinking like, oh, I don't know what happens in the end. We know where these 40 days end. We know it ends in Easter with us shouting, where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? We know who wins this in the end. The only question is, as we fight the battle along the way, will we be fully invested in the side who wins? Will we call on the help that God has given us? He tells us plainly today, I've given my angels a command about you. God has commanded his angels to help us, that they guard us in all our ways. They shall bear us upon their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, all of our guardian angels, help us today to fight this battle of Lent, that we might be victorious with Jesus at Easter.